You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Do you ever feel like you love your horses and you love the sport, but sometimes you just feel a little lost? Or you're like, not good enough? We've all been there. This month, we're talking about how to get yourself in the right headspace on those tough days. Plus, we have the best horse show hacks to share. Thanks for tuning in.
From Heels Down Mag, a podcast where horse pros chat about what's happening in the horse world over drinks.
Welcome to Happy Hour.
I'm Justine Griffin.
I'm Jessica Payne.
And I'm L.A. Woznicka. Welcome to episode 140 of Heels Down Happy Hour.
Woohoo! 140! That feels like a big one.
Right? That is a big one.
Like, we should do an early cheers, ladies. Cheers to 140 right. episodes of Heels Down Happy Hour.
Yeah, cheers!
Cheers to everybody listening. Thanks for tuning in.
I know. It's all of you guys who listen to the show that keep us going, so we're happy to be here. And this episode is brought to you by HorseSpot.
Okay, guys. So this, we've already talked about, is my favorite time of year. I love fall. I love all of the fall flavors. And I just actually had this past weekend an apple cider martini, and it was delicious. And then I found this apple cider spritz, which also sounds delicious. So it's a 1/2 ounce of, you know, your spiced apple cider syrup. You do 1.5 ounces of blended whiskey. You could even use the apple whiskey if you want to push the apple further. 3 ounces of sparkling water. And then you could garnish with a dehydrated apple slice or a lemon wheel or something like that if you feel fancy. You'll combine your apple cider syrup and whiskey in a highball or Collins glass and stir, and then top with ice, then add your sparkling water and garnish.
Yeah, this is a great, great recipe. So they have the recipe for how to make, like, if you want to be fancy and make your own apple cider spritz syrup. But I feel like you could just, like, buy your favorite apple, like, spiced apple cider, too. And that works as well, like, to go with the whiskey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But this sounds
absolutely
super yummy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all about fall. I'm so excited fall is here. It's like still highs like in the upper 80s, but it feels like fall in Florida. And oh, I'm totally down for this drink.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm all about it. So what have you got for news this week, Justine?
So I found an interesting piece of research that Equus magazine wrote about just this month that explores how a horse's posture affects their health. This is something I have experienced personally. So anecdotally, when Mikey was rehabbing his soft tissue injury a couple years ago, one of my vets was like really big on posture, like making a horse like aware of their posture and standing balance, like even in the cross ties, just to help them develop, you know, like more balanced ways of standing. And it's just overall better for their body. So I'm slightly aware of this kind of stuff just from that period of rehab time in my life. So I thought that the study was super interesting. So this new research has been like wants to look at like why horses sometimes stand splayed out or kind of parked out or the opposite of that is called canted in, when they kind of stand almost like a triangle where they're the hind feet and the front feet are kind of getting closer to each other when they're standing. And basically, this study with a grant from the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Foundation wanted to learn more about how horses stand like completely free, how they choose to stand and why, and what does that mean for their health. So they looked at a whole bunch of different things like their neuromuscular effort to stabilize their body in awkward ways, like that splayed out extreme or that canted in extreme, and why horses would choose to do that over standing square, which, you know, would put a balanced amount of weight and pressure over each leg. And usually, I think it's no surprise, but horses, when they stand in those more awkward positions, are trying to basically compensate for discomfort, right? Like something's going on, so they don't want to put their full weight on one leg or over one shoulder or why. So, you know, there are different reasons why a horse might adopt a stance that's a little awkward or funny, but generally standing that splayed out requires more energy for that horse to maintain, that research found. So it's another layer of a horse that's already in pain, and then they're compensating in awkward ways that continue to take more of a toll on their bodies. So obviously addressing pain is the first answer, right? So that your horse can stand square and then hopefully help maintain their overall health in the limbs and other parts of their body. But there are lots of interesting correlations in this study. Like they talk about, you know, like you want a horse to stand square for the salute in a dressage test, right? And show dogs are expected to stand sort of in a, you know, a similar fashion when they're in a show. And it's meant to show that like vertical limb stance that shows you have a healthy horse, right? So it's kind of interesting. It's another tool, I think, in our toolbox as horse owners to look at a horse and go, why is it standing not square? And that might help you evaluate lameness before it becomes more prominent. But we'll definitely link to this study so you can learn more about what they found when they were looking at posture. But it was pretty cool.
It'll give us just another thing to worry about.
Right? Yeah, right.
When we see a horse standing in the pasture, we're like, well, you're not laying down, but...
Yeah, what's going on? I know. Just another thing.
But I like that this stuff, because it does help you get an early read on some of this stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. The research was cool to read, so we'll for sure link to that one in our show notes. But what do you got, Jess?
So... it was an impressive week. So the World Cup 5-star was happening at Traverse City this past week. And obviously all the big time riders were there. And last year, Kent Farrington won it on Greya. And he kind of went through the course. Like I saw a preview of like where he was talking about it, how she was good, but kind of still green, hanging up over some of the jumps, which, you know, just being super careful. So it kind of was really interesting to watch. And so anyways, there were 7 horses that got back into the jump off, and Greya and Kent Farrington won again. This is it's their 5th 5-star this year they've won, which is so cool and impressive. Like,
that's like unreal. There's a reason. Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason he's number one, but still you have to give him credit because that is unbelievable. So back-to-back wins was super fun to watch. But Spencer Smith, who was a younger rider, and Jacob Pope, Spencer was 2nd and Jacob was 3rd, both had amazing clear jump-off rounds and fast, and super excited for them and the horses that they have for the future. But at the end of the day, you still have to give it to Kent and that mare. Greya is like amazing. That the fact that they've won 5, I mean, Kent's won other ones on other horses, but 5 5-stars this year.
Wow. That is pretty cool.
So, yeah. So it's interesting, but, you know, it makes it known that, you know, he definitely deserved he wasn't at the top spot for just a second. Like, he deserved to be number one in the world for a while.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
What do you have, Ellie?
So I have 2 USEF updates.
Okay.
The first one being that there was a little bit of a change to the blood rule, because right before it was any blood, you get eliminated. They recognize now that sometimes horses may bite their tongue or lips in a normal course of work.
Yes.
So they're saying if, you know, minor blood is spotted, for example, on the horse's mouth, the new rule allows a licensed judge or ground jury to rinse or wipe the horse's mouth and then permits the horse to continue if there is no evidence of further blood. But if the bleeding continues, then the horse will be eliminated.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
That was nice.
So you feel like that's fair, Jess, as someone who's like in that world at that level?
Yes. I mean, I think so many times like there might be like an accidental, and there any blood is any blood, right? That's kind of an unfair statement. So like now that they're going to investigate and say, look, like, you didn't just get bit by a horse fly. They wiped it off. It was that, you know, you didn't just get like a snag of something. It's not an actual blood. It just happened to be there. That I think that's totally fair. And, you know, honestly, a little bit leaning in the sense of just horse welfare that like, yes, it happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And like a gray horse, like that's not fair more so than a bay. So like, you know, what if a horse got bit by, you know, a big, huge horse fly and it drew a little bit of blood in the wrong place? and they like freak out. Well, you wouldn't have seen it on a bay, but you know, now right. It just gives you a little bit more, okay, we can investigate and make sure it is actually.
Yeah. Or forged a little bit and nicked.
Yes.
You know,
and it's not a black and white because
right. Yep.
It's not that situation.
Right. So that rule is going to go into effect in the 1st of December of this year.
Which is so nice.
Yeah. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about, which I'm excited for personally, but I want to know what you guys think. So USIF's released these guidelines to equine welfare, kind of like a best practices, which I encourage everybody to go check out the Protecting Horses link, and we'll link it in the show notes. But basically what they're trying to do, this was developed by the chief of sport of USIF, David O'Connor, and it is similar to the German Equestrian Federation's horse welfare guidelines. So basically it's based on a stoplight concept, right? So like we all played it in school, right? Red light, green light, same kind of thing. So green is like when you look at a horse doing any discipline and it's something you like to see, like there's, you know, it's exciting to watch, you want to watch it. Yellow is where it gets a little uncomfy, right? You see something that, you know, makes you uncomfortable. And it's one of those things that if it resolves, or if it's, you know, very quick, or something is done about it, where they might, you know, mention something. But then red is like, absolutely not, uncalled for, unacceptable. So I like that they put together these videos about like the different stages of the horse friendly versus cautionary versus like the absolutely unacceptable. And they talked about things like, you know, losing your temper on a horse, hyperflexion and roquer, and then also excessive whip use, like the, you know, excessive aid use that's in a way that's not guiding. It's used as punishment. And I like that they made videos, and they only have like three up right now, and they are going to talk about more, but they talked about the actual like physical makeup of the horses. Like they, you know, did the draw of the skeleton. Mm-hmm.
And the whole muscles. Drawing of the skeleton, yeah. And everything. Yes.
Just show like, look, like this is something that is physically detrimental versus not detrimental, you know, to our equine companions. And I like that they actually included the AAEP, the American Association of Equine Practitioners, in this as well. And they're also excited about the initiative because it is going to support a more ethical partnership for recreation, sport, and competition with these ponies and horses. And I think that that is something that is really important, that we're being more open-minded and also going in with the science behind it, right? Like having veterinarians who say, look, like this isn't just something that is not appropriate and does not look nice. It's also something that is detrimental to your horse's muscular, skeletal, like whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important. And I'm glad that USIF is going in the right direction. And I think these videos are important as well, because unfortunately I feel like we're not a very like reading society as much as I would appreciate it. But I think the videos, they're in a clear way, and I think by simplifying it down to, you know, that stoplight concept, you know, I think that's important. And I'll tell you guys more about this in my Rose and Thorn with a show I judged this past weekend. So I'm glad to see that USIF is doing this, especially after the stuff I saw this weekend. So
oh, no.
That's a little preview.
Precursor, yeah.
So stay tuned. Keep listening. Right? Interesting, though. I'm glad we're getting to a point where we're talking about these things, both from the, like, being reasonable about the blood rule, but also, like, there are more things we need to be thinking about when it comes to what's right for the horses, too. So, I mean, all around, these are good things, right? You know, I think these are all good steps.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jess, I know you're already a fan of Alexin, which is the human people version of Sinutra. We're all big fans of Sinutra Equine here and the supplements that they offer for our horses. But Alexin is their brand for human supplements. And we've talked at length about their sleep supplement that you use. But you just tried a new one for like stomach support, right? Can you tell us more about it?
Well, I actually didn't know they did other supplements, to be honest. I always did the Livelo because that's like, you know, what they had told me about and everything. And I was like,
is that the sleep one?
That's the sleep one.
Okay. Yes.
So we had talked about the sleep one, you know, I needed sleep and, you know, I got like a little mini pack to start and now it's on like my auto ship essentially on Amazon. Like it will be here in 12 hours type thing. And so then, you know, one of the times it wasn't like a hurried purchase. It was like, you can add Livelo and you can add this with it. And I was like, wait, they make other ones? So then I went down, you know, the typical deep dive of like, what else do they have? And I didn't know that they had a focus one, which is for vision cognitive support. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that kind of like keyed in. And then there was like increased stamina, like protect your mind type thing called FOX or whatever, fight oxidative stress. But then the one that caught my eye is I've always like had, you know, I've been on a probiotic. I'm more sensitive to a lot of things with my stomach, just a bunch of things. And it recommended, because Amazon and Siri know everything, that this is the one they recommended, was the Amend GI. And it's a stomach health support for like ulcers and just an overall stomach balance. And I was like, oh, I order this all the time because, you know, like in the horse sport, you take like an Advil or whatever else for your back, whatever else, you have the stress, you have all this. And I started reading about it and I was like, actually, this is like exactly what I need for my stomach. So it is probably going to be here today, to be honest. I have not tried it, but I am super excited to know that on Amazon, there's like a trusted gut health through, you know, Sinutra basically that I love for the horses. So yeah, their Alexin products for their humans also have a gut. So I'm super excited.
So have you've tried it? Like how does it make you feel? Okay.
I just ordered it. I just ordered it. So okay. I am like excited to know because I actually reached out to like a couple of people and was like, did you guys know this? And they're like, yeah, we love it. So I have not personally tried it. It is probably actually at my door because I just ordered it, but I'm excited because the Livelo I love and take on a daily basis, almost not daily, but like weekly for sure. And it's just, if I can't sleep and I'm stressed, it calms it. So I'm excited that like, if I'm stressed in my stomach, like doesn't need an upper, like I do a Omeprazole. So I'm hoping that this can kind of replace the Omeprazole and probiotic type thing.
Yeah. I think that sounds awesome because I'm someone who like, I would take that if it works well for you, Jess, I would take that when I travel. Cause I'm someone
exactly.
who, you know, like when your routine's all out of whack, like it can make or break a vacation for me personally, you know? So
it's not a good time.
Exactly. No, it's not.
And like a lot of times, I don't know if you guys like, I don't know if my stomach's just like so wrecked, but if I take like an Advil or whatever, because I need like I'm dead. Like I'm dead.
Yeah,
and like
it's game
I think
over.
I'm so sick. But so it's a better like, do you take the Advil because your back hurts so bad? Or does your stomach hurt? Isn't there an equal median that like I can take both on like a bad day? And so I'm excited because like I always do, I did a lot of research on it before I ordered it because I was like, okay, well I'm doing well now, but I'm like, but once season starts and I start getting stressed more, am I going to do okay? So I ordered it to kind of just take it on a daily thing to see when all that kicks in, if I can, you know, not have stomach attacks.
Interesting. Yeah. So this is to be determined.
Yeah. But I just wanted to let you guys know, because we've talked about it a lot and I'm like, did anybody miss this? Because I did. And I don't know how.
Well, it's something I definitely would be interested in. I mean, I won't get too graphic here, but
right?
I've always had like, if I have to wake up early for a show, I know that I have to take an Imodium the night before or I won't be able to show, or like, I'm like definitely not wearing white britches, right? I don't want to be like, this is a real thing. We all experience it. So I think it's great.
Well, that's like, why I was like, has anybody else missed this? Because if somebody did, like, please shout out because I'm glad to hear it, because honestly, I battle it with just over the counter, just basic Omeprazole, which doesn't work half the time because it's probably needs more. But yeah, I was like, oh, wait, there's a gut one that feeds towards more of that. Like,
yeah.
So,
I'm on the Alexin website, and it's all natural science-based ingredients, yeah, which is what you would expect from Sinutra and Alexin, you know? And so it's the key ingredients inside the MNGI product is Centella. I'm going to mispronounce this. Centella asiatica extract, vitamin A, vitamin C, like, and also CM chitosan. So for folks who are like, you know, into holistic medicine and are familiar with that, but it sounds like it's made just for you, Jess, like whether your discomfort really comes from instead use, like you said, like if you take an ibuprofen or something and you really get triggered by that, or occasional stress, like travel, like what we talked about, it sounds like Alexin made this for us. So
yeah,
I'm really going to be curious what you see. Like once you
I will let you know, I will keep you posted because I was more in shock. I was this late to the party to find it, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's a little sad about that part. Honestly, I was like, guess I've been a couple extra months of suffering, but it's okay.
Ugh, I mean, stomach pain is the worst, you know?
Right? And anything that will get me out of a horse show porta potty,
oh, for sure,
I will take.
Worth
100%
it.
Worth it.
I hear you. No, I agree. I hate that feeling. You know what I mean? Or like you leave a nice date and just feel like crap on vacation and you're just like, sorry, I'm just going to be bloated and disgusting all night. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, yep. So I'm all about this. This sounds great.
Finally, horse show software you can rely on. HorseSpot offers cloud-based horse show management services for circuits around the globe. It's easy to use, so your horse show is easy to manage with proven results. Find out more by visiting www.horsespot.net today.
So, Jess, I wanted to talk to you more about, I mean, you guys are on the road literally, I think, more weeks out of the year than your home with the horses.
You know what? To be honest, actually, with the jumpers, I think it's like half and half now, which is
interesting.
Very nice,
okay,
to be honest. But yes, we're on the road a lot. But I'm going to say it is kind of a nice thing that with just the jumpers and no eventers, it's more so 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Interesting. Okay. But you guys are like at this point in your careers, having done horses all this time, you just run like a super well-oiled machine. It's just, it seems like a machine. Horses on the trailer, off they go. You get to the horse show. Everything looks so professional and easy and smooth about your process. And Doug shared a cool reel recently about how you guys were, I think you were in Aiken, right? That you had eight or so horses. Like, here's how you ran through the day. And I just, one, it sounded exhausting just watching the quick, the quick.
Well, that
reel
was eight around he was riding. And then we had another eight or like we had a total of 16 horses each.
With
week.
Clients. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that's incredible. So I feel like you guys have learned a lot over the years, I'm sure, on how to be efficient.
Trial and error.
Right. Exactly. But also how to be efficient with packing and setting up and getting the horses settled and how to make your days run smoothly. But also how to be successful too, like how to go in and feel like you give it your all and nail it. So, and Ellie, you too, as someone who horse shows in different disciplines with different types of circuits and different cultures that come with that. Just, do you guys have certain hacks, like in the way you prep or pack or travel, but also like, how do you get through the day, you know? So like, and not lose your mind or, you know, your tack or your wallet, you know, like I'm one of those people, like I can't keep track of all the things at a horse show.
Well, my wallet's on my phone, first off.
Okay. Good.
Have
good
I showed
tip.
You that before? So behind, I have a case that keeps my credit cards and driver's license.
Yeah. Like it's included. I've seen those.
It's included in it. And it's the best thing. So if somebody gives me a check, it doesn't get in my pocket and get washed, which is key because I've watched so many checks. Yes.
Happened to me.
And so, yeah. And then it's like, you have to ask the person for another check and, you know, all of the above. And you're like, I could have just put it in the back of my phone case and I don't have to like, oh no, I need to go run out and get a water or a coffee and I have to go find my checkbook or wallet. No, it's all in the back of my phone. So I take it and that's the one hack for organization for money wise is it's all in my phone itself. But back to the show and like kind of setting up and everything, we organize the trailers per when we're going to unload. So in that sense, like you pack backwards, basically. So everything that needs to come out first, like buckets, water hoses, feed buckets, all of that, that gets packed last. So then things that maybe you don't need right away, or you might even not need till the second day, gets loaded in the very, very top in the back. So you're not searching for things, and everything goes, and we have a lot of organized tins, like, you know, bin type things or baskets. So we organize everything at home. So you get to the show and you're already organized. You're just unpacking and then setting up. And so for us, I feel like the best is packing backwards is the best, because then you can get to the horse show, or the first rig gets there first. Like sometimes we have 2 to 3 rigs going. The first rig has all the water buckets, hoses, feed buckets, everything, and it unpacks. So the stalls are set up prior to the big load getting there, if possible.
That's smart. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I wish I was that organized, because like at the end of the horse show, I'm just like, everything, just make sure the door will close.
No, but if you're organized when you get there, it's amazing. Like when you pack up, you stay organized. So like I do a lot of like bins and a lot of label makers, but then, so the label makers we have these bins that I got from like Target, and that has all of our show boots. And they're all in these like little like pull out drawers, and they're all labeled. Mm-hmm. And then you put them in, and that bin goes in, and it goes up top. And half the time, you know, they're pretty washed at the show. You have to pull them out, rewash them a bit, but then they go back in there and they're packed back up for the next show.
Interesting. Okay. So the bins live in the trailer, essentially.
They'll come out, get rewashed, and then a lot of times go back in.
Got it. Okay. All right.
Or go in the organized place that when you need to, because a lot of times you don't need all the bins, depends on what horses are going.
Sure.
To live organized in the barn, but then when you need to reorganize to pull them out, it takes 2 seconds.
Totally. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I like that a lot. So both of you, this question is for both of you. What's one thing you can't live without when you're on the road or at a horse show?
Oh boy.
Oh.
Like one thing that like you gotta have, you know?
You guys are gonna laugh at me.
I can't.
But I can't wait to laugh at you. I am like, I have a little bit of like superstition when it comes to like showing. So like when I go to a show and I'm training, or I'm, you know, not riding, not a problem. But like there's like a necklace I have to wear. Like a certain pair of socks that like just I like best in my tall boots, that if I don't wear them, it just like, I don't know, maybe
everything's off. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like this feels a little too bunchy, and I don't like it. So there's that kind of stuff. But like for me, especially being on well water now, the biggest thing that I can't go without are those horse quencher mixes. Because Berkeley is like me, and he likes water that tastes a certain way. And if you take him to shows that like are on city water or things like that, like he's like, he'll just turn his nose up at it. And he's like, absolutely not. And the last thing I want when I've been showing him all day is to, you know, not have him drink water. So that's something that like I refuse to go without, something to make them drink. And I've also jumped on the Replenimash.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. Bandwagon.
But things like that, like those are things I don't mess around with. That and, you know, drugs. You never know when you're going to need drugs.
Yep. Oh, yeah. There's always the drug container. That's a good one. What about you, Jess? What's like the one thing you can't live without?
I feel like a lot of, you know, just like our basic equipment, but that's kind of obviously it. But I think if I was going to go outside the box, I think the thing I can't live without is lately we've been bringing like a refrigerator. So that I love sparkling water, so I can keep the fridge cold of sparkling water. And that's
nice.
That's the one thing you can't buy at most horse shows.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
You know, like I feel like, so when everybody's like, what could you live without? I'm like, okay, well, I could not live without obviously like my helmet and all the basic things, but okay, I could forget a set of palms for the one horse that needs earplugs. Well, I could probably go buy those if worst
at the horse show. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
But you know what? Half the times I get to horse show, I cannot buy a sparkling water. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'm like, when it's so hot and it's gross, like I'm just chugging bottled waters or whatever, and half the time they're warm or whatever. And now the fact that like it's not the same.
It's not. My husband is a sparkling water snob too.
The fact that you can just keep it in your cooler. We have this like little mini fridge that has the cooler on top, the fridge, the freezer on top. So all of our ice boots go in there, and then sparkling water and other waters can live below.
That's pretty smart. That's a pretty serious hack.
Horse show. So what about you, Justine? I know you have, you've got to have something.
She's got a good hack, I'm sure.
Oh God. I don't even know. Cause I don't really feel like I'm so out of the game of like horse showing regularly. So I feel like every time I go to a horse show now, I'm a spaz and like, I don't take the fridge, but I take the Yeti cooler, which keeps you know, it the ice boots cool all day long, sometimes all weekend long, you know? Well, so, you know, the Yeti, the only thing about it,
I forgot the ice boots the other day. Did you see that problem?
That ain't
yes, I saw that you used my hack with the icies.
The ice pops. Yeah, I know. So the Yeti
you
is
win
a life
some,
saver.
You lose some. And I legit didn't bring, Lily had texted me, did you pack the ice boots? And I'm really bad at looking at my phone. And I didn't respond. So she thought that meant yes. And we got on the road, and halfway down the road, she's like, so you got those ice boots you said. You didn't say no, like, you didn't grab them. Nope. Nope. I had the outs, but not the ins.
Okay. Well, halfway there.
Yeah.
But yeah, mine's definitely the Yeti. It's like indestructible. It's heavy. So I will say it's like not convenient. Like I need the husband with the Yeti, but I don't bring a mounting block when I bring the Yeti because that's the mounting block.
Oh, that's a big hack.
Yeah, it's indestructible and anybody can stand on it and get on a horse. You know what I mean? So I use I never bring the mounting block when I bring the Yeti. And let's see. The only other thing that I probably can't, I'm a psycho about horse shows is I have to bring like 4 to 5 hair nets. Like the nice fancy ones now that you slide your ponytail through and it's like very easy. They get so disgusting so fast from your sweat. I don't want to use a used one after I've used one. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'll wear like 5 hair nets in one horse show. But you can, that's like, fair. They're very easy to clean. You know what I mean? Like, I just hand wash them and they're good to go. And they will last if you take care of them. But I since I'm a hunter at heart, my hair is always in the hairnet at the horse show, you know? So that's probably my one, more of like a insight into my ADHD brain that I need 5 clean hairnets to get through
that's
3 days.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's fair. On those same lines, this is something that when I was doing, you know, every weekend when I was a kid doing like the walk trot and the short stirrup classes, this is something that the owner of the barn used to bring with us was like just astringent and like cotton pads. And she would literally do it like it was in her little bucket, like, you know, so she had a brush for the horses, a rag, and then she had that. And she would used to do it and she'd just say, oh, wipe your face, wipe the back of your neck. I will say that that's great for one, not only like cooling you down and like helping you stay fresher when you're like disgustingly
gross.
Dripping.
Yeah.
It's also great because as a kid, like it helped with my acne. Like, like fantastic. I always bring astringent now.
You can still buy astringent?
Yes, you can.
This is the first time I've heard that word in many years.
That's I was like, I didn't know that was actually available for purchase still.
Yes, it is. And Matt hates it because I still use it like at night, even when I'm not showing. And he's like, why does your face smell funny? I was like, you know what? You should use it too.
It's clean. Like, it's clean, yeah. Matt. Okay. That's a good tip. I like that too. That's a good one. Okay. So what's like a popular thing that you see at the horse shows all the time that just isn't worth your time? Like where you're like, oh yeah, I get why people use that, but it's too much of a hassle for me to use or to bring, or I'm just not into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like everyone, there's always the trendy thing that people are doing or whatever. And you're like, yeah, I don't do that. I was going to say, maybe it's the ice pops, but now you're into ice pops in a pinch, Jess.
I know. It probably was that. And then, you know, you do what you do when you forget things. So
one thing that I'm curious about are mats. Like, have you seen those new portable stall mats that they sell that roll up and you bring to horse shows? Like, is that worth it?
Well, it depends on the horse show when it's so dusty. So that's the thing is like, it's in moderation, I think is what it boils down to. Like, so yeah, you could be extra and bring it all. But I have to say, there's so many horse shows that I've been to, like, it's disgusting. The whole thing's dust. And those rolled mats are worth their weight in gold.
I know. They look super nice, but I'm like, am I ultra bougie if I'm this person? But also, being in Florida, I feel like most of the venues I go to these days are have really like up it. To their game. Yeah. Like the stalls are pretty nice. So
and that's it. Interesting. It's a couple times a year, but if you're there and honestly, like if you're at those horse shows that particularly need them, honestly, like especially if it's kind of in the summer months and it's dry, I'm sure for more than 2 weeks, it's worth it.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think it makes more sense, like by me, like a lot of like those local fairs that do them like on fairgrounds, because the stalls have just like asphalt or concrete. Like that, I think makes sense because then you're not having to spend so much money bedding the crap out of it to protect them laying on the asphalt.
For sure.
But, and I've heard like great things about them. Like one of the trainers, maybe like 2 hours from me, she like is a dealer for them. And like, I've seen like, you know, children pick these things up and carry them around and they hose off well and stuff.
Wow.
So I've thought about it, but I'm like, I don't think I have like, I don't do enough frequently enough to need this. And I,
and then lug it around. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Cause like for me, like even when I went to Kentucky and they're, you know, this was a couple of years ago and they're still in the process of like changing over the old barns and people warned me that some of the stalls are like on the asphalt parking lot. I just brought, what is it called? The pelleted shavings and like really went hard on the pelleted and wetted them down and then put shavings on top. But, you know, to your point, Jess, it still makes it dusty. You know, like, I don't know what's the best option.
Do you guys want to know something bougie that I don't have, but that I want?
Oh, yes.
So the opposite of your question. Okay. So I am like, I like to be in a horizontal position, okay? Like, that's just, like, who I am as a person. Like, I think it's funny because, let's be real, okay? Like, that is my preferred. If I'm not on the horse, I would prefer to be laying down, okay?
Okay.
And I always get made fun of because when I go to, like, Saratoga or those away shows, right, people will bring their, like, you know, camping chairs or whatever, and I bring, like, a camping cot. You know, so everyone else is just like sitting in the barn aisle and I'm just laying down. I'm like, this is fantastic. But so I followed this company and they're not like obviously sponsoring me or anything, but they totally can if they want to. It's called Quatic. It's a New Zealand company, but it's literally a hammock that you can put in your like straight load of your trailer.
So like sleep in it in the trailer?
Yes. So literally, then I wouldn't even have to check on the horse because I'd be right next to him. And like, it's a hammock on one side. It uses like your butt bar and your chest bar, and you can make it a hammock. So
I feel like it'd be too smelly for me. I couldn't handle that.
It would be too smelly for me. But
not enough airflow.
I'm not picky. You know, horizontal is the key.
I feel like you could just even put one of those horizontal chairs, like the laid back chairs that are like we've.
Yeah,
you know,
I was gonna say you could put the hammock in like you could put the hammock in like the tack stall or something too. Yeah. You know,
could I mean, I've done that. Usually, I just do it in the aisle. I don't have shame. I'm like, I don't need to hide the fact that I'm horizontal. But
yeah, like those zero gravity chairs, like just put that in there.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I like those. I like this idea. I mean, it would make sense, like, for my friends that do, like, the endurance events.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Where they, you know, have those, they just make, like, these, they don't use actual corral panels, but they, like, make their little, like, stalls attached to the trailer, and then they just camp out next to it. I'm like, this would be great for that. Then you wouldn't have to camp, like, on the ground. You could be in the trailer with your little hammock. So, anyway, Quatic.
So, Ellie, what is your best routine or things you do that makes a difference for the horses, like while you guys are on the road and showing?
Ooh, that's a good one. So I think for me, and maybe it helps me and they just then can't feed off my stress because it makes me less stressed. My biggest thing is like when the morning that I leave, I like to get up early enough so that I can completely groom them and stuff before they get on the trailer.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm showing off the trailer, that makes it easier when I get there.
Yes.
But then also, like, that prep work of just, like, I have enough time, I'm going to groom them, you know, it relaxes them, it relaxes me, and I think that just helps to make it, like, smoother. And also then I can give them, you know, their ulcer guard and stuff before I groom them, and then I feel like it's kicked in a little bit before I throw them on the trailer. The other thing that I do is I make sure that I bring a bucket of our water with us. So I don't have, you know, like a really nice, unfortunately, one of the big tanks that I can fill up. So I have just like, you know, Lowe's buckets that are like $5 with the, you know, they're made for paint, right? So you can stick the lids on, and that I just fill up a few of those to make sure that when Berkeley's picky about water, that I have some that he will find suitable. So I like to bring that too. Just, and that's also just something, you know, in case I have to pull over and they need some water.
Have you seen the portable blue ones that you can put in the trailer?
Yeah.
And then you can fill the water buckets.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's amazing. So they're the same thing. Like, don't have a tank, same thing. So you can get these like portable blue ones and you can carry them. So you could actually still keep your Lowe's buckets with a lid, but then you can carry the water from your farm and have extras and then use it while you're at the show.
Nice.
Yeah, they're okay. So nice.
So what about you, Jess? What are your routines?
I love that, like, if same thing, if we're going to ship somewhere close or like be a ship in or something, getting there. And I feel like it's about being organized, right? Like, mm-hmm. And that's how I kind of think about it, is getting them groomed, making sure they're good to go. Now, if we're going away to a show for 2 weeks, the best thing I do is like still setting a plan. So every night we have a plan of when the horses go the next day, when they need to get out. We like to get to the horse show early. Mm-hmm. So even if the grooms and stuff are there even early, we're there super early. So we can get checked into the rings. We can go walk our courses early. And even if it's not the exact same course, we can go make a plan. And maybe the, you know, you can't walk the course, but you can kind of see when your course is walked, see everything else. So like if there's a course walk and you're in the meters and the course walk is in the meter tens and it's the same course, we'll walk with meter tens, because then that gives us all the extra time,
right?
Yeah. To not be rushed for our own class. Mm-hmm. So we make very much a specific plan during the day with our clients, with ourselves, and then with our, you know, team involved, that everybody can be there, that we can be some of the first in the ring, completely organized, but all it did was we had to get there 30 minutes earlier.
Yeah. On those away shows too, I feel like I'm a big routine with like the hand walking.
Yeah.
Like I do it all the time, like at least twice a day. I'm like, just like, I feel like it helps with my nerves. It helps with my horse, getting him, like he's able to like experience the hubbub without, you know, me saying, okay, you actually have to pay attention to me and we have to do something, you know. I think it takes some of the stress off. So those days that are really long, right, with the clients, the ring delays, like what do you do to stay motivated and sharp on those long show days?
I think for us, it's beneficial. We're only there for 2 weeks. In the grand scheme of things, like some people are there for like 6-12 weeks. And I think that would be kind of harder for our mindset. But at the end of the day, we go in and we're like, because we have the plan, because we kind of do it, that, okay, if there's a ring delay or whatever else, we already have our plan. We already know our course. So then we kind of make light of it. And so, you know, we joke with the clients, we'll do everything else. Or on the opposite side of it, to try to stay organized, like let's say the ring delays early in the day, we are very much accustomed to like changing our plans. Let's say three horses have to be ridden. They were going to get ridden at noon because that was the gap in the day. Let's say the gap in the day comes at 9:30. Like it's kind of known in our barn that we like to keep moving. And so it's not often that like the girls that are working for us will call and say, hey, there's now a gap in the day. Can you guys come and ride 2 to 3 horses? And we'll knock out those horses so that it doesn't make the day any longer. So I think that's the biggest thing for us is like, yeah, it gets long and happens and whatever else, but don't add to the problem of making it. Like if you're supposed to leave at 1, you know, supposed to end the day at 1:30 and it gets pushed to 3, well, if you haven't been organized through the day and at 3 o'clock, you still have 5 horses to ride. For us, that's not what we want. Like, that makes it longer days, feeling more stress and everything else. So we try to make sure we get all that done in an organized fashion.
No, I think that's great. And I mean, obviously, I'm a big proponent of if the ring's delayed, take a nap.
Yeah, take a nap. If you're done with the day, 100%, like, take a nap. But for us, if we're not done with the day, like, don't take a nap, because at 3 o'clock you can go take a nap, you know, right. And you can be done, yeah, and just relax, and like your minds can, yeah, settle and stuff. So for us, we kind of just go with the flow enough and don't get aggravated that it's delayed. Maybe fill the time with something as useful as what would have happened later on.
Right. And I think something that's like helps me on those days that I kind of miss now that I show mostly by myself, but I still do when I'm taking a group of people somewhere, is like doing fun things together, right? Like,
yeah,
sometimes, for sure, you know, if a ring's delayed, or if, you know, we're like, well, you know, we're going to wait for this rain to pass, the show, you know, whatever is delayed, I'll bring a deck of cards and, yeah, like, we'll play games, or like that heads up game that, like, I think Ellen DeGeneres was the one that made it, but it's like where you put a word on your forehead and then the other people have to make you guess the word, but they can't say it. Have you guys ever played that one?
Yeah, yeah. That's,
yeah,
fun.
Like little things like that where you could, like, because I feel like, I think show sometimes, I mean, at least for me as a person, like when I'm stressed, like it'll bring out like nasty behavior on my part. So I think doing stuff like that, I think makes the long show days more fun, you know?
Where, do you want to know what Doug did in his spare time? It was a card game, but not like you're thinking.
Oh boy.
So we've been joking that the generation below us, Justine knows what I'm talking about, the couple generations below us has this language that, like, I honestly don't understand.
Me either.
They say a word and I'm like, is that good or bad?
See, I have to interact, like, with them in a professional capacity at work, like over Slack, and they like will text me a message and I'm like, I don't know how to respond
to
that.
So sly.
Yeah.
And you go, is that a good or a bad thing? And you don't know how to respond. And like, they'll say it in the ring. And I'm like, so there's one of the clients, I'm like, honestly, I don't know how you just described yourself, if it was good or bad. And she's like, what do you mean? It was terrible. And I was like, well, 2 seconds ago, you said it was about you. And she goes, yeah, I was being bad at that moment. I was like, I'm so confused. I looked at Doug. I said, I don't. She goes, do you think I should make flashcards? I said, yes, absolutely. Can you make flashcards?
It was cute. It was funny. I laughed out loud watching
this.
It
had happened for days. So finally, I was actually at home with my mother entertaining my kids and stuff. So I was gone because the delay of the show, it was a bit longer, but it was like a bit of an hour and a half. And I get these funny text messages that are like, we use the best time of like the ring delays, the flashcards came out, and Camden and Doug decided to do what is all these terminologies from the 20-year-old to the 40-year-old, and they're hysterical. It was 3.5 minutes worth of funny, hysterical stuff.
Yeah. And that's sometimes like that'll change the mood the whole afternoon, you know?
No,
yeah.
Everyone, like, nobody was stressed because they couldn't be stressed because they couldn't figure out what, you know, Rizmit or whatever the next one was.
We should do our own version one day on the show. I would laugh.
So we can have my sister on. She is my translator. I literally will text her and I'll be like, so-and-so said this. What does that mean? Like, I literally, in the middle of the day, middle of the night, she'll get these random text messages or like voice notes. Cause I'm like, I don't even know how to spell this.
No. And Camden's the cutest. She goes, Doug would be like, so give me a context. Like, she goes, well, it's so Riz. And he goes, that is not context. Like, that doesn't help me. Using the word in a sentence that doesn't bear, like, it was the funniest thing. I was like, I love them. Like, it's so great.
I love that.
Each holiday season, we publish the Heels Down Holiday Gift Guide, highlighting our favorite equestrian products of the year. From riding apparel to tack, horse care items, nutrition, and more, anything that makes a difference in the lives of our favorite horses is eligible to make the annual collection. Items that make thoughtful gifts for horse trainers, barn managers, barn besties, and more are also on our radar. Want to work together? Send us an email at justine@heelsdownmedia.com. So guys, I also wanted to talk to you about the mental side of the sport. I know this is something that has come up in a variety of ways over the years for all of us individually, but also through some of the guests we've had on the show. But I've noticed in our Facebook group, and to be honest, in my own personal life lately with Mikey, sometimes I feel like it's easy to feel lost with, you know, like in goals with your horse. I mean, obviously, if you ride horses, you just know setbacks are like just part of the process. Horses go lame, they get injured, things happen. If you're an adult with a job like some of us that has nothing to do with horses, like real life gets in the way. And it can be frustrating, right? Like everything can be going smoothly for a while, and then it's like psych, and the rug is pulled out from underneath your feet, and all of a sudden you're left a little dazed of like, okay, how do I get back to where I was? So I wanted to pick both y'all's brains. Like, how do you guys get yourself out of those slumps? I have definitely been in one of those this summer, you know, where Mikey and I are finally back to work after like a very extremely long time off and really only doing like 20% of the work we used to do back before he got injured. And it's frustrating when we've got to take those long breaks, but like it was so hot. We had mild soundness issues. I have goals for the fall, but how do I even begin to get there when all of these things start compounding? You know what I mean? It just, everything right. feels so far away. So is there something you do, Ellie, when you're like, man, I'm just never going to get where I thought I was going to be? How do you talk yourself out of the negative self-talk? I guess we'll start there.
Yeah, I think it's hard, right? And I feel like I've felt it a lot more since my like physical disabilities.
Sure.
You know, just being like, I'm never going to be able to ride the way that I did. And it's one of those things, there's absolutely nothing I can do to change it. You know, there's no exercise I can do. There's nothing. I mean, I can't regrow neurons, you know? So I think it's easy for me to like sometimes get on a horse and be like, you know, if I'm asking for something, like the other day with Q, I was asking him for the right lead and I struggle with the left lead rather. And I struggle with that because my right leg is my like weaker leg that I can't feel. And I wasn't asking him correctly. So he was just picking up the the right lead when he should have been picking up the left lead. And like, I think in those moments where I'm like, oh man, this is so frustrating for me. And I'm like, in reality, right? I'm like, okay, so he's got a good counter canter. Like I have come to the times where I'm just like, well, I'll take a step back because, and I saw something actually on, I don't spend a lot of time on TikTok, but I was glad that I saw this actually because I felt like it was a good reminder. And it was like, I think it's a trend now, but it's like people just like, usually on a trail ride, will just videotape their horse's ears. And it's like, sometimes I forget that like I'm sitting on, you know, an entire childhood worth of blow on the candle wishes and like, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Like, in reality, and I thought about this when I was on Q, I'm like, this is a horse that I've known since he was 3 months old that I broke myself. And is he finished? No. Is he ever going to be finished? No. Do I care? No. Like, what's it matter? Like, he's safe. He's sound. He's happy. I can ride him and not fall off the side anymore. Like, at least I regained some balance, you know? So I need to think about new ways to, you know, ask for the left lead canter. But, you know, I'm like, in reality, like, I'm grateful to be here. I think sometimes taking that step back and just being like, actually, I'm living my childhood dream. You know, I try to think about that. And Matt and I do this together when we're like, when the horses have broken a fence or when we're having to do like hay and we're like, screw this. I hate this. I just want to be able to freaking not do anything for a day. Like horses, man, you know? And it's like, okay, but actually we're both living like what we wanted our entire childhood lives, you know, to like be able to wake up and have our horses in our backyard. So I think to take that step back sometimes is at least what I need for those like tough mental things, you know?
That's, I love that. I mean, I'm with you on that, too. Like, I work a high-stress job. The news cycle in 2025 is just a dumpster fire. And
it's
hard to not take that home with you, you know? And, you know, obviously done the job for a long time. But that is my reminder on days where I'm like, okay, I don't set goals for horse shows and moving up levels like I used to. But when work is real bad, I go, at least I can go hang out with Mikey, at the end of the day. And that is a blessing in my life that is not guaranteed. And I'm lucky to have that, you know? Right. So that's what I try to do. But some days it still sucks where I'm like, man, I feel like I should at least be like riding the second level test by now. You know what I mean? Right. But what about you, Jess? How do you handle it? How do you talk yourself out of the negative self-talk?
Yeah, because you come at it from a different perspective, too, with being in it full time, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, and for myself, like, it's a bit different, right? Like, I don't compete as much because of the kids and stuff. So, you know, maybe the hardship is a bit different in this. It's not even a personal thing, you know, or I didn't prep something different. And I just, like, go back to the basics and say, okay, what can I do differently? Can I make this better? And you know, in the different sense, like, yeah, it might come more frequently, but then there's more frequent times that I can actually get it to be better. So it's like, okay, look, for this week, maybe I have next week to help and make it improve. And so it's always about just kind of changing my mind shift of not now and like, okay, yeah, this wasn't perfect. Okay, this part of the course was great, but like, how about we change it and make it different in that way?
I like that too. Sense. And I'm going through that now, actually. So I paid my entry for the Jockey Club Tip Championship. So Mikey and I are going like 2 weeks.
Good.
Before the next episode, I will have an update for you.
Yay.
Hopefully we make it. I paid the money, so I hope I get there. But
it's like just taking the small rewards.
Exactly.
And that's what I think, like, you know what, you got there and like, well, hopefully, fingers crossed, that you get there and like, this went well and this... nothing's going to be perfect. Life's not perfect. You know, that part of aspect of life might be perfect for a second and then it could change. So it's like taking the wins and taking the small kind of things and saying, okay, look how far I've come in the sense of like where I was 6 months ago and where I'm trying to become and everything. And just the small differences, however that seems to make it in your mind, like that should be important.
Absolutely. I mean, because I'm going into this, I'm like, yesterday was the deadline to pay the entry and I almost didn't pay it because I feel the most unprepared for a horse show that I've ever felt. And I'm just like, there's just too much life happening in my life in the last month where, and in the heat of the summer, trying to get this horse in work and making sure he's sound. Like, I feel like we stumbled over every stumbling block that could have been in our way. And I almost didn't do it. And my husband was like, what if you just pay for it and go and just have fun and don't think of it as a competition and just enjoy spending your time with your horse? You've always wanted to do this.
I love that.
Who cares? Yeah. And just say you had fun because who knows if you will be able to do it next year. And I was like, well, okay,
and that's the thing.
He's
it's
right.
Like, he is 100% right. And you know what? Take it in like, you know, the first goal is to get there and the second goal is to like be there. But the end goal is to have fun.
It is. It just goes against every fiber of my being. I'm an extremely prepared person, Jess.
I'm an extremely prepared person and it's very hard. But you know what? At the end of the day, you get there and you're like, okay, why are we doing this? It's to have fun and like to do this. And like you take that step back and you like, it is that, you know, and it is fun. And so you have fun with the people that are there and everything else.
And that's what I'm doing. I don't, you know, I think when I set out to do this, I was like, maybe I'll be competitive. I would like to be competitive. So I want to go. And now I'm just like, let's just get there. And if I get to hack around Stapleview and spend a week in beautiful fall weather in Aiken and enjoy nice food and hang out with my husband, I think it will be a great time.
That's a win-win right there.
The mindset I always have, Justine, get some good pictures.
Yes. Okay. All right. Good point. But
like, who cares if you're competitive? As long as you get that one nice picture with the fall foliage.
It's golden.
I mean, cool. I've got like one canner that works. So it's going to be a disaster.
She did not say it needed to be in a working picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is
She said it needed to have fall foliage. And last time I looked, that is not in the dressage ring.
And I've got like six outfits. I'll find a way to wear them all in two tests. You can make it
work. And literally, don't be afraid either to go up. I have gone up to literally every horse show photographer and said, hey, I really am only here for the picture. Will you please take extra photos of me?
I will buy them all. Yeah.
Seriously, they do it every time. And I always have better selections. Like, don't be shy.
It's a good idea.
It's actually a really good point.
I know. Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, they're there for business too. Like, if you're saying, look, I want to buy a photo, that's the reason I'm here, take more of me. They're
take
like,
candids.
Okay.
And if they have time, exactly. like, they'll say, okay, that's mm-hmm. an excellent point.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys are making me feel better because it's a commitment. It's expensive. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. We have to haul three states away, yada, yada. But I've always wanted to do this. And
you should. I'm excited you're doing it.
I'm excited too, even though I feel extremely unprepared. And I hate that for myself, but I think this is a good mental challenge to be able to go and
it's not tomorrow is the good news. You still have a couple weeks to prepare.
And that's in back to your small goals. That's what I've been trying to do. Like, I'm not going to fix everything in two rides. Like, did I make improvement today? A little bit in some of the trot work. Tomorrow I should try a little bit in the canter work, you know?
Yeah. Right. And a little bit every day. And don't think of it as 10, 15, 20 days away. Think of it as like every day I'm going to try a little bit. And then you'd be amazed that like those little bits add up to be the time you need.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. The clock is ticking.
My goodness. Don't panic about the next couple weeks.
It's fine. I mean, you gotta just send it. Just send it.
Well, she's already sent it. It's happening.
Yeah, I already paid all the money. I'm in debt.
It's happening. She's going. She's going for that picture of holding the horse. I mean, it's happening.
That's all I got. Yeah. But thank you. Thank you for the pep talk.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So it's time for Rose and Thorn. Who wants to go first?
I can go first. I already teased Ellie enough, so I'll have to tell her what my Rose and Thorn is.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear it.
I'm going to start with my Thorn. I don't know if this has ever happened to anybody. This is something that I experienced for the first time last week.
Uh-oh.
So apparently, not apparently, it did happen. So one of the horses was like itching at the wraps and stuff. So they took the wrap blast, which we've used several times. Not a big deal. Just spray it a little bit. Well, we go back and I'm wrapping up a bunch of wraps. Like I had to wrap a couple horses and my allergies were so bad naked last week and I was taking my allergy medicines and everything, but I had wrapped a couple wraps up because I was going to rewrap somebody that day. They had pulled him off the horse and I was like trying to be helpful and I was going to rewrap him and my eyes were like watering. So I like rubbed them.
It's crazy.
And then I rubbed my face because then my, you know, like mouth itched and stuff like that. Essentially, I rubbed my entire face with Rab Blast directly on it and didn't know it and then kept like rubbing it because I thought it was like itching from the allergies
until
it was like a full burn. And then I was like, I can't really see. I was like, I am really having problems. Like my face is like itching. And I was like, didn't know what was happening, but I was like, this is really bad.
That stuff is so like, strong. It's insanity. That's like tear gas. You're like the, it is crazy.
Doug goes, you just rubbed your entire face in Rab Blast. And I was like, oh my gosh. I spent the next hour with a cold hose or a hose on my face between the two of them.
You poor thing.
Soaking it. And then I went home and showered for like 20 minutes with like two different like calming face wash, trying to like get it down. And I was like, this is just embarrassing. Like, I can't believe this is that bad. I just thought it was being a weenie.
It's terrible. No, it's not. You breathe that in from like 5 feet away. It stings
then
in your lungs.
Turned out
forever.
A client of ours had breathed, like they had been spraying it on it and she inhaled it from afar, not directly on her. She thought she was like having kidney stones or a heart attack. And she went to the porta potty and told me she thought she was dying. And I was like,
no, I don't
want to die. We went to the party to die, and she's like, apparently that's where I want to go when I die because that's where I went. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it made me feel better that I wasn't being dramatic, but I was like, You went to the porta potty to die? She's like,
that's pretty rough. That's pretty rough.
That's when you know, like, it's real.
It was real.
You're just ready to succumb to it at this point. Just take me.
So that was 100% my thorn because I didn't know that was a thing. I mean, we've used it for years.
Oh, it's awful. I've breathed that stuff in and I thought I've been dying. Yeah, it's the worst.
I had no idea.
Oh,
no idea.
It is something else. I feel for you. I'm like, my body's reeling thinking about it, and I can't even imagine on your face, you know? Woo.
Yikes. So my rose, on a totally different note, is so Doug got the gold medal on the Star Witness horse. And so finally, you know, he's like not specific about her training and all that. And he's like, well, if you want to play with her a little bit. And it started when we were doing the commercial for Zoetis. Uh-huh. I had to get on and kind of ride her on the flat and like learn the Piaf and massage, which I have no idea how to do, to be honest. but I was like, I kind of figured it out. And so then when he was gone to Aiken for the 2 weeks, I got to play with her for the 2 weeks. And because I was home for the week and then just only went on the weekends. And I was like, this is so cool. Not that I'm going to switch, but she is so cool on her tricks. I was like, I don't even know how to do this. But you do the one thing that I was told to do and then it happens. So...
No, that's my rose. Video. You looked amazing. She's
been
amazing.
So fun. She's so amazing. And it's great. And like at the end of the day, we don't have time for a dressage horse. So she needs to go on to like her next person and stuff. But like how fun. Like she is amazing, amazing. So that might be my rose next month. I can't tell you because like I'm not sure I will ever ride a horse that has that many dressage buttons ever.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. Whoever gets it was so her, cool. What a cool horse.
Right?
What about you, Ellie?
Justine? Well, or Ellie?
Ellie's been teasing that she's had something good all episode, so I want to know.
I know, can't wait to hear hers.
It's not very good, but okay, so I'll start with my rose. So I had to judge a horse show in Connecticut this weekend. So I went to, you know, visit my mom and stuff, and I was like, you know, I've been talking about doing this for literally years for my mom, like taking pictures of her and her horse. And I was like, I'm going to do it. So I told my mom, I was like, look, I'm getting there at 4:30. We're going to go take pictures of you and your horse. So like, be prepared. And luckily we got it done quick because it started like pouring rain afterwards. But so my rose was that I was able to take pictures of my mom and Sully, which came out so well, and I'm like super excited. I have not taken pictures of people and horses since, oh gosh, long time, like at least a decade. And it was just nice to be able to do for my mom, and I like that she has these great pictures of her and her horse. So that is my rose for sure, and I'll have to have her share some in the group so you can see how adorable they are. My thorn, on the other hand, was a welfare issue at the show I was judging. So it was an open show, and long story short, you know, with some of these open shows, sometimes you get serviceably sound horses and things like that. And I'm one of those judges where as long as it doesn't get progressively worse, you know, and it's not like three-legged lame, like if it's got a little hitch, but it's moving forward without encouragement and stuff, I'm not going to be opposed to it, especially if it's going with like a walk trot kid, right? This horse, on the other hand, was a little skinny and just like not well muscled. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, it was in a halter class. And I was like, well, obviously it's not going to do well in a halter class because it's, you know, not muscled out correctly. And then we had a break in the arena to let the schooling happen. And I try really hard not to watch the schooling because it can put a bad taste in your mouth, to be quite honest. You know, it's hard to like unsee things that you see a rider do, especially when you have to judge them, you know, in however many classes. But I kept seeing like out of the corner of my eye, this girl just kept loping the crap out of her horse. And even the judge for the other arena had also seen this. And we had had other people coming up to the secretary and the steward being like, look, she had been galloping her horse around the warm-up arena for like 2.5 hours nonstop. Like there were no breaks. So it was unfortunate because it turned into a situation where it had to be addressed, right? I was like, look, this horse is going to keel over. Like he did not look good at all. So I talked with the steward and I said, you know, I'll go address it. And I went over and I said, hey, you know, I know you're showing in the next class. And I just am, you know, coming over to see, you know, when's the last time you got your horse some water? Like, do you need a bucket? And I want to say the kid was like 14 or 15. And I have never had someone speak to me so rude in my life. The child rolled her eyes at me and was like, I just did that 20 minutes ago. Thanks, though. And rode off. So I went and talked to the steward. I said, look, like all I asked her to do was give the horse some water that we'd had, you know, people come up about welfare because she'd ridden the horse so hard. Meanwhile, I'm standing in front of this horse that I can see the red of his nostrils. He's panting so hard. He's got sweat dripping down his legs. And I'm like, okay. So then the steward was like, no, you know, she's done. Tell her we'll refund her money. She's done for the day. And so I went and I said, look, I'm sorry, but we take welfare very seriously. And, you know, you're excused for the rest of the day. We'll refund your money. I was screamed at for like 5 minutes. And then I had told the steward because they were like, I'm going to go lodge a complaint. And it was just horrible. I was kind of just like stunned and baffled by the whole thing. And I guess then she tried to go to like the higher ups at the show and, you know, say, well, this is nothing. This horse goes for 9 hours a day at home. And blah, blah, blah. And she was like pointing at other people's horses that were also sweaty because it was very hot. And she was like, well, that horse has been going all day. And that horse, like, just like horrible stuff. Like they had to be escorted off the property bad. And I was just like kind of just a little shocked. So that was my thorn because I just, I kept thinking, I was like, if a judge or a steward came up to me and said, hey, like, you know, do you need me to get you a bucket of water for your horse? You know, when's the last time your horse, like, we've had welfare concerns, blah, blah, blah. I would be mortified.
I know, right? That's like the key here.
I would have probably cried. I would have gotten off the horse right then and there, taken off its tack, and probably sobbed. Let alone, if I had ever spoken to an adult that way, let alone a judge, a trainer, like a steward at a show, my mother would have pulled me off my horse and smacked me in front of everyone. And made me apologize. Like, it was just like a big, like, I was just kind of stunned. But it also does have a silver lining, though, because I felt very positive about the fact that everyone in the show management and, like, the other judge and I, like, we all were like, no, this is a welfare concern and this is unacceptable. So I liked that we stood our ground on that. And yeah, so going to have nice complaints written about us, but I think that I'm glad that we stood our ground on that and that poor horse at least didn't have to show.
Well, yeah. You made the right call for the horse, and at the end of the day, that's what's most important, Ellie. So,
yeah.
Ugh, that's no fun, though. I mean, the thing about horses is, like, I hate, like, at the local level, like, the learning curve for people, you know, because it sounds like you did the right thing and that you were kind and, you know, went up to them and tried to check out the situation and then they totally, you know, rebuked you, clearly, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you did everything you could and that's all you can do.
It just, those kind of things make me really sad that, like, and the fact that her trainer was also yelling at me. And it's like, shouldn't you also be in part of this situation and, like, helping and, all one, telling your kid that's not an appropriate way to speak to a judge. Two, you know, to actually teach her welfare for her horse. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason why I chose the news item I did, because I think that this is important that we need to talk about, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So what about you, Justine? What is your rose and thorn?
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm going to start with my thorn, which is that Robert Redford died today.
Stop. Oh. Yes.
I know.
I'm so sad about it.
It's my thorn because it's terrible, but it's also about to be my husband Alex's thorn because, unbeknownst to him, we're going to watch The Horse Whisperer tonight in his honor.
Oh,
so
no.
That's going to be a double whammy for Alex because I'm sure he doesn't want to watch the 1998 classic of my childhood, The Horse Whisperer, but it's happening. And we're going to think of Robert Redford. So I feel
heartbroken.
I've been to the Sundance Film Festival a number of times. So I like in that was like a very much a pet project of Robert Redford. And he was such a big indie film buff and supporter through his whole career. So yeah, I'm sad today. Robert Redford was a good one.
And such a like important like environmentalist and a great supporter. Yeah. I'm sad. I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but I have a red Chevy and his name is Robert Red Chev because he's a Chevy, not a Ford. But so that was sad. I'm really sad.
I know. Ugh.
I was telling our producer before we started and before you guys joined that Robert Redford is like my one like get out of jail free card.
No.
Like Matt. I told Matt, I was like, I don't care how old he is. If Robert Redford wanted to date me, I would dump you. And, and that
sad, it's gone now.
I know. And I'm just really sad about it.
You don't have another one now. You can't like man up.
I guess
and
it's
say
good for Matt though.
One.
Yeah.
Wait for Matt. Wait for Matt.
But anyway.
So the horse whisperer forever. All right.
Yeah. I'm going to make Matt watch The Horse Whisperer too tonight.
That's yeah, exactly.
I like that idea.
And then my rose is Tip Championships. I paid it. I did the thing. And
it's going to be amazing.
I know. I feel like I feel really lucky just in the last couple of weeks. You know, my horse is like very, it's soundness is not a guarantee anymore. It's, you know,
never on anything though.
Exactly. This is true. That is a good point. And I'm very lucky that I have a great team behind me from my farrier to our vets, yada, yada. I feel like my farrier has gone above and beyond lately on my behalf for this horse. And honestly, he was the one who called me yesterday and was like, did you pay your entry?
And, I love that.
And it made me feel good. You know what I mean? Like these people that you work with over the years who become, you know, more than just your farrier, just somebody who's a friend, you know, and I appreciated that. So my rose is that it's like all the people involved. It's the vets who've, I've asked 1,000 times, like, you think he's good, right? And they're like, please just go to the horse show. Stop calling me.
Stop talking to us. That's
stop
amazing.
Making me bill you. And, you know, because I'm like, oh, it's a long trailer drive. Is he? And oh they're like, goodness. Just go to the horse show. Let us know how it goes.
Stop calling us.
So I just feel lucky for that support that, you know, it takes a village, a lot of friends who have also told me to like, shut up and just ride your horse. Stop freaking out. So that is my rose. It's, and I hope it's just a fun, easygoing week and a kind of nice way to end the year for Mikey, who he's been a great guy this year. So, and it's been nice to spend time focusing on him again after I felt like a lot of that got put on hold for a while. So that's my rose.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's awesome. And I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. But before we wrap, we have a mailbag from Danny who posted this in our Facebook group. She just bought a yearling. Congratulations, Danny. That sounds like a fun journey. And so she's starting, you know, with like thinking about training and how she's going to bring this very young horse along. And she was wondering if anyone had any like recommendations of types of liberty work or other ground work, like in-depth body regulation work, things like, you know, the TRT method, which is very cool. Do you guys have any programs that you think are worthwhile or books or places for her to get started as she's going to bring this young yearling along?
Well, I feel like I sound like a broken record with this stuff, but Buck Brenneman's methods are fantastic. And speaking of The Horse Whisperer, he was the inspiration for that book and movie. But so his methods, and he does a lot of colt starting clinics and things like that. Like that would definitely be something to go audit, even if you can't get in to one of those clinics, because usually he has those in the, I'm not sure where you're geographically located, but he has some of those at his own ranch in Montana. But if you can get into one of those or even just go audit, that would be huge. I've heard really good things about the TRT method. Even when I was actually in New Mexico for the positive reinforcement clinic, one of the women that was there was the Liberty trainer. I'm going to butcher her name. Elise Fremont. She's a French trainer. And I know if I showed you guys a picture of her, she has a book that was published by Trafalgar Square. But she has worked a lot with the TRT method and does a lot of like Liberty demonstrations and things like that. And we were talking about it at the natural or the positive reinforcement clinic. And that definitely sounds like something that would be beneficial for young horses and all horses, to be honest. But I think the biggest thing is going to be go audit from like lots of different trainers and, you know, find a trainer that you trust, because there's a lot that you can like make or break with a young horse and like their, you know, success for the rest of their lives. No pressure when they're young. Just like sample different things, you know, and find somebody you trust to help you with the important stuff, you know?
For sure. I mean, Jess, obviously you guys have the young stock too. Do you start them from the very ground up? Or I know we talked about the judge young horse that you had, but, or do you guys send them off to anybody?
No, we start them, but we do more of like just a basic day to day and just kind of make them become barn. Like we just make them become part of the barn like early on. Mm-hmm. And if we find they're going to be a little bit annoying, we put them in the cross ties for a couple hours and like play with them and like do that. So we kind of, in a sense, kind of harass them as like toddlers to be like, hey, look, it's not a big deal. So it's not anything that when you become to, we don't break them till they're into their 3-year-old year. So we have a good almost like 4 years of kind of messing with them. And
sure,
they do, they're horses. They live in the field. We do that. But like, we do handle them. They do come inside to stalls. Like they do all of that. And then
it's almost like, you know, desensitizing them to like real barn, adult barn life, you know?
Their adult barn life, to a sense, and then they get to go in the fields, but they have to go in the stalls. They have to lead. They have to lead with friends. They do all that as a baby so that by the time they're 4, they're kind of, in a sense, domesticated, if that sense. Sure. So like we don't do any kind of real, you know, I would say like the TRT method or, you know, kind of horsemanship, but we just kind of make them be horses. And that's probably the same.
Yeah, it's all the same core concepts, I feel like, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully, Danny, that advice helps you. Mm-hmm. And if anybody else has ideas for Danny, she did post in our Facebook group, which is the Heels Down Happy Hour Podcast Lounge. We could always keep the discussion going there. But if you have a question for us and you want us to answer it on the air, you could always send us an email at justine@heelsdownmedia.com, or you can post in that Facebook group I just mentioned. And if you want to hear more from us, you should check out Heels Down Mag for the latest news. That's heelsdownmag.com, or follow us online at Heels Down Happy Hour on Instagram and at Heels Down Mag on Facebook and TikTok. And if you love our show, please give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we want to say thank you to our sponsors this month, Horse Spot. All right, guys, that's a wrap. Cheers! Cheers.